Would you introduce yourself, please?
I am Chris Williams. I am the bass player, vocalist, sometimes guitarist, prime mover of the high 70s.
Ah, yes, the prime mover. L.A., I know there's punk, there's glam, there's real and imagined stories. There's something or someone named Princess Frank, which we will get to.
I recently purchased a copy of Black Sabbath's Volume 4, which I remember in the early days of getting stoned and listening to stuff on the headphones, hearing that record and saying, like, I want to play guitar until I can make it sound like this. And like I said, and that endures. You know, I put on that record and I still love it. It still moves me. And I don't know why Ozzy gets so much press, because Tony Iommi on the guitar is the thing that really moves me on that record. But as far as formal training goes, it's pretty limited. You know, it's as a teenager when I picked up the guitar, you know, there was kind of the standard, you know, mom dragging you to lessons stuff. And
right.
And really the full extent of that was approximately like a half a dozen lessons. And it was a little incongruous to me because I thought, you know, here's this guy kind of telling me where to put my fingers on the fretboard, but he's not really showing me how to get that sound, you know, that moves me. And that's where I realized that the way to play rock music is to listen to it. Why is it, you know, that it moves me? And then to figure out how to make those sounds. That's kind of been my mojo, is, you know, just like getting fuel from the music I love. And that's changed over time. But, you know, the most important period as far as the high 70s go is, you know, that explosion, you know, when, you know, glam rock and garage rock turned into punk and new wave. And it feels like, you know, the field was suddenly open to all these creative people, and all these great things came out, you know, in a very short period of time, starting in the late 70s, you know, from the Sex Pistols to, you know, to Joy Division and, you know, or XTC, you know, bands like that that are, you know, took, you know, the Talking Heads, as you mentioned, Blondie, you know, they took things in a very different directions.
Is this a band, a project, or a burrito?
My producer, Ethan Allen, said one time, you need to be in a band where people understand you. And Princess Frank is totally that.
So
the core of
who,
the band.
Okay, so here we go. Who is Princess Frank?
Well, I told you I moved to the east side, like Glassell Park, and I'm kind of the newcomer, you know, the gentrification wing, as it were, in that neighborhood. But Princess Frank has lived there forever. He, you know, he still lives in Highland Park and near where he went to elementary school. But he is, you know, he's been playing drums in clubs on Hollywood Boulevard before he could get in, and is a very diverse performer. You know, the great thing about Princess Frank, I mean, one, he's an amazing rock drummer, but he's a musician first. And so to answer your question, yes, it's a band, but the core of the band is really me and Princess Frank. We've actually gone through a couple of guitar players and have another one in the queue who, testimony to what I just said about Princess Frank, you know, he's the drummer in my drummer's band. You know, he also fronts bands where he plays guitar. The sound has really been shaped by Princess Frank and I, in terms of, you know, just making sure that the attitude is there, the arrangements are right. And I was saying, between that and Ethan, our producer, you know, kind of are really the ingredient.
Tell me about Ethan. What's he do? How'd you meet him?
One of my friends from South Carolina was just posting fanatically about this band, Graham Rabbit. And I make it a policy, if anyone's fanatical about a band, I will check them out. And I checked out Graham Rabbit and was like, these people are magical. And later they did a residency at, was at the time, Bordello. And now it's the Moroccan Lounge where we shot our video.
Sure.
But I met Ethan after they played, bought him some whiskey. And it was like, I want to meet the guy who's responsible for this sound. And he's like, well, I'm that guy. And we've been friends, for, I don't know, like close to 10 years now and done a bunch of different records. But he is definitely, my musical brother, kindred spirit. But as far as like his cred goes, he's done a lot of work with Ben Harper. He's done a few records with him.
What is the goal for this thing? Is the goal that you put out a record and you're touring it and it actually becomes the thing? Or is the goal that you just want to get some great music out into the stratosphere or somewhere in between?
This is something, that I'm committed to so much in my heart that, and it's what led me to Caroline, which is what led me to you. That, I believe in this enough that,
you'll invest in it a little bit.
Invest in it. I'm going full vinyl. And I really thought there was a great chance for it to connect to a wider audience. I feel like it's just an honor to get to the point where you finally can stand on the shoulders of giants, that I feel like it's a way, it's an honor to be able to synthesize this and put it out in a way that's not copying. It's like them, these artists moving my hearts and me trying to do something that moves other
people
too.
And again, the trick, you're taking something that you love, you're taking an era, which not a genre, yeah, but an era. But it's interesting because in a conversation you also mentioned, and I'm going to pick two bands, which is Starcrawler and Shame. I would venture to say what they have is they have the energy. They have the chutzpah to come out there and do something truly, and they're not imitative.
Oh, hell yeah. I know, because you could look at, I forget the name of the Starcrawler singer.
Autumn DeWild.
Yeah, and you could say, oh, was she just the female version of Iggy Pop? But it's like, no, she's got her own crazy thing. And one of the things I heard about Shame, just speaking of standing on the shoulders of giants, is that, because I was like, how do these guys have the sound that like sounds like it came right out of the
yep.
high 70s or early yep. 80s? And apparently some, older bands on the scene saw the promise and took them under their wings.
Oh, yeah. A lot of well-known people went, whoa.
Yeah.
They're really good. Are you putting this out? Yourself, distributor?
Yeah, I mean, three possible paths. One is, to just do it independently, and see how far you can go with that. The other thing I actually have, it was kind of a byproduct of the pandemic, this like music sync licensing company, and I was thinking about using this to transform it into more of a 360-degree
sure,
label
sure.
sort of thing. But who has the time for that? Like right now, I'm just trying to get the music out there.
Do people expect you to be 22 or do people expect you to be 75 because of the fact that you could be either a fan as a millennial or you could be someone that's just an old rocker
right.
who just never grew up?
Exactly. Well, and I know that I am the latter, but it's funny, because, we talk about young bands who are somehow able to channel, similar influences, but, I really feel like, part of, the reason for being, or the inspiration, for this whole thing, had to do with seeing people that are closer to my demographic than the 25-year-olds that were still going out, getting ripped, loving rock and roll, going to live shows.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.